We're talking with candidates in the race to become Milwaukee's next mayor on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Seven candidates are on the ballot in the nonpartisan primary election set for Tuesday. Top two advanced to the spring election April 5th. Former Mayor Tom Barrett resigned in December to serve as U.S. Ambassador to Luxembourg. What do you think Milwaukee's next mayor should prioritize? What are the city's biggest hurdles, its biggest opportunities? 800-642-1234. Bob Donovan is a former city elder, past candidate for Milwaukee mayor. Bob, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, start with your top priorities, if you will, for the city. What are they?
Well, I think first and foremost, there are three immediate challenges that whoever Milwaukee's next mayor is going to have to tackle head on right from the start. Number one, to provide the appropriate level of leadership that, in my estimation, hasn't existed in Milwaukee for quite some time. Number two, the public safety crisis that we're dealing with from reckless driving to record-breaking homicides 2 years in a row to, sadly, leading the nation in stolen vehicles. So we're dealing with this public safety crisis that is strangling the life out of Milwaukee. And then finally, the fiscal challenges. Most people aren't aware, but Milwaukee is actually teetering on the verge of insolvency. We desperately need a partnership with the state of Wisconsin to address these challenges and move this community forward. So I would say those are the three immediate challenges that need to be addressed right off the bat.
Well, let's start with number two, the public safety crisis that you referenced. How would your administration seek to reduce violence and reckless driving?
Well, I think we need to look at a couple things. First, I would argue you simply cannot expect order and stability on our streets and neighborhoods unless we have the appropriate level of manpower in the Milwaukee Police Department. They simply cannot keep up with the 911 calls, the calls for help, and of course, that's all reactive policing. We want a force that has the ability to proactively patrol our streets. I've always been a big believer in foot patrol and bicycle officers connecting with the people they're protecting and the people connecting with those officers, getting to know one another. There's no better way to improve police-community relations than that kind of policing. So, yes, we definitely need to provide. We've cut the department's manpower by hundreds over the last few years. That needs to be turned around. Second of all,
I just want to pause right there because the Milwaukee Police Department has had quite a bit of difficulty getting new recruits. How would you approach that issue of even getting enough candidates through the door and through police training to be able to be officers?
Well, certainly we have to, even if it takes going to other communities to recruit people, certainly that's been the case with a lot of departments across the country. But yeah, you're absolutely right. That's not an issue, quite frankly, that many in Milwaukee are even talking about. But yes, are we getting the quality candidates that want to become officers? And I would argue this. In order to be a good police officer, one who is committed to the profession, it's a vocation. It's just not a job. It's just not a 9-to-5 job. It is a vocation. It's a calling. So, yes, we need to reach out. I would want to work. And I also think it's important that we have officers that reflect the people they're protecting. I would want to work closely with the League of Martin and other organizations, retired black police officers, perhaps, that could help in the recruiting process, Latinos as well. Work with those kinds of organizations to reach out into our schools, into our community groups, and make that connection. Oftentimes, a young person may not have a positive connection with a police officer. Let's face it, oftentimes they see a cop dealing in crisis situations, in very challenging, difficult, emotional situations. I would love to see, and we have a program here in Milwaukee, it needs to be brought back, called STOP. Students talking it over with police. And I think it was an excellent program. It received national awards. We need to bring efforts like that back. Also, the PAL organization, the Police Athletic League, where police officers were involved in sports and mentoring of young people. There are a lot of things that can be done as long as the person in the mayor's office has the desire and the will to move forward and make it a priority.
Let's look at those fiscal challenges that you mentioned. And starting out with pandemic aid, because the city has roughly $200 million in unallocated federal funding for responding to the pandemic. How should this money be used?
Well, I think certainly I would want to see some of the funds go to our businesses. I think small businesses, I think over the last 2 years, they have really, many of whom have taken it on the chin with the lockdowns, with the mandates and so on. Some of them have lost their businesses. We need to be a community that helps our small businesses prosper. After all, small businesses are the backbone of any neighborhood. They're the lifeline. They keep a neighborhood strong. In some instances, they're like an institution, many that have been there for decades and so on. So it's important that I think a certain amount of that funds go to our businesses.
Well, let me reintroduce you here as we have conversations with all the candidates for Milwaukee mayor ahead of the February 15th primary. On the line is candidate on the ballot, former Milwaukee elder Bob Donovan. You can join in. What do you think Milwaukee's next mayor should prioritize? What are the city's biggest issues and how would you tackle them? 800-642-1234. Also, in the fiscal house, if you will, the city is facing more financial pressure next year when pension obligations become due. Would you, in light of the issue with pensions, would you support raising taxes or cutting city services in this type of budget crunch?
No, I wouldn't. I think the answer is not more taxes, most especially given the inflation that we're facing currently, the fiscal challenges that most families are facing. But as I said, this is going to have to require a partnership with the state. And I believe I'm the candidate who can get that done. I believe over the years, I've developed good working relationships with our state legislators, and it's critical. Also, I might add, Wisconsin is looking at a significant budget surplus to the tune of almost $4 billion. I would hope that our representatives in Madison, including the governor, would recognize the importance of helping Milwaukee, because what happens in Milwaukee is spreading to our suburbs. It impacts the region, but it impacts the entire state as well. So everyone has a vested interest in a well-run, efficient, successful, prosperous city of Milwaukee. So that's why it's absolutely critical.
I'm going to jump in here and bring on Mo in Oconto. Mo, hi. What would you like to bring up?
I hear a lot of candidates running for mayor, not maybe for Milwaukee, but it seems like we got to be tough on crime and bring in more police. And I think really we need to bring in good economic opportunity, create a sense of community where people look at each other as friends and neighbors more than just put down an iron hammer and say, let's bring in more power like Putin.
Mo, thank you for the call. Bob Donovan, number one on your list was leadership, and I wonder if that bridges into what Mo is talking about here.
Well, without a doubt, and he raises a good point, certainly. Having said that, you're not going to be able to do anything positive in a neighborhood or in a community unless that community is first safe and stable. Once it's safe and stable, positive things can happen. Businesses will want to come in. Also, I would argue a major concern is our educational system. So those two major responsibilities of local government that, in my opinion, have been neglected over the last many years, and we're suffering the consequences. But without order and stability, you can't begin to revitalize neighborhoods. So that's number one. And absolutely, once that occurs, you can then bring in businesses, and so much can prosper. But you got to ask yourself, do you want to move into or open up a business in a neighborhood that is factually unsafe and perceived as unsafe?
And Bob, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us, former city alder. I'm Kate Archer Kent. It is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.